And welcome to episode 2 of the Super Slutty Podcast. I am joined, as always, by my illustrious co-host, Blair.
Hi.
Hello, Blair. Now, before we get on to any entertainment, there is obviously something that we need to address, something which has been dominating the news recently. And, well, complicated issue, but I have a platform and I decided to use it in order to voice my opinion, which is that Black Lives Matter and that racism should not be tolerated at any level, in any form. And I stick by that. And, you know, I don't have the answers for how, as a society, we can fix the issue, because it's quite multi-layered, in my opinion. It's going to require a lot of grassroots education. I think time, hopefully, will improve it. But clearly it's systemic. And I just think Blair and I want to make it very clear that we condemn racism in any form. Completely.
And people who deny that racism exists. It fucking exists. It's a fucking problem.
Yeah, I think that's what we wanted to make very, very clear. It's something which is kind of gripped the whole nation. Obviously, on Tuesday there was this Instagram blackout. It really took over social media. It took over the discourse of pretty much everybody on this planet. And while I don't have the answers for necessarily which charities you should be donating to and which causes are the best ones, or whether you can say that one cause is better than another, all I can say is that I would like to raise awareness of the issue with my platform, and I can vehemently say that I condemn racism in any form. And that is me genuinely telling you that, and that's no peer pressure, that's no, you know, need to post a black square to fit in with every other social media account. That is my honest opinion. And there we go. And I wanted to deliver that.
Wait, hold on. You know, one thing that I think is really important to the solution of this problem in the world is that people are open to empathizing to the point that they can, like, try to feel the pain and suffering that is a result of racism. Because a lot of us are privileged enough to not have to feel those things. And if people are more open to feeling that, truly not sympathizing but empathizing, that's part of the solution.
But I feel like that's been well communicated. I feel that a lot of people are starting to, because you can never understand, and I don't want to come across as white privileged in any way, so I'll be very careful the way I tread. However, it's becoming, I guess, clearer in terms of a mainstream media sense of how, you know, a lot of black Americans and black people worldwide, I guess to an extent, are feeling this feeling of oppression and that they're being treated differently. And I think that that's been communicated really, really well. And I think the protests are fantastic, and, you know, long may they continue. And I think, you know, we really hope that change is enacted. Whether we really believe that's going to happen or not is another matter, but we really hope that it does happen.
Awareness, first step.
Yeah, so. Awareness is the first step. Now, however, I've said all of this stuff, and I really believe it, but what I did on Tuesday was I decided to step away from my role and responsibility as a comedian, humorist, whatever you want to call it, and I decided to address something which I wanted to address because it had swept the world and the nation, and regardless of whether you live in the UK, the US, or any country in the world, I wanted to address it. And I wanted to offer a simple message that I wanted justice for the killing of George Floyd, because no man should be killed in that manner. It's just completely abhorrent, and it should never ever happen to anybody, regardless of skin color. Now, I posted a black square.
I posted a black square.
Yeah, a lot of people did. I mean, I pretty much saw every account on Instagram that I followed posted a black square. I wanted to join the movement, just in the same way if you go to a protest, you join the movement and you chant the same things that the protesters are chanting, and you do the same fist action in order to show solidarity.
And as small of a thing it is to post the black square, it's still, you are still saying, like, hey, I agree with this. I want to, like, you know, show that I'm on this side in regards to racism and wanting to abolish it. And I think, you know, there's a lot of activism trying to say that, oh, that's not enough. Or it's still something that causes conversation and awareness. And I don't think it should be discouraged in any form. I mean, I get the whole, like, oh, hashtagging was kind of screwing up an information timeline. But
I think certainly there was a lot of credence in the fact that that one hashtag was not meant to be used. I didn't use it. I know people accused me of using it anyway, but I didn't.
Yeah, I
didn't. I didn't use the hashtag Black Lives Matter. I tagged the Black Lives Matter account in my post, and I hashtag, I can't remember exactly what I said, but I think I said justice for George Floyd. I was really attacked. And this, you know, helps us segue onto the topic of something which is really close to my heart, because it's something that I've been accused of many times. And it's, I guess, something that I've been swept up into by having some sort of a platform on social media, is this whole issue of cancel culture. Now, I had good intentions with my post. You know, all I was doing was saying that I completely, completely disagreed and wanted to condemn racism in any form. And I wanted justice for somebody that was killed unjustly. And I was attacked for not doing enough, for not saying enough, for not writing in enough detail, for not highlighting which causes to donate to, for supposedly not doing enough in the past for racial equality, even though I run a meme account that satirizes high society.
It's all a parody and humor.
It's a parody. You know, it's like, that's not my MO. That's not why I started the page. Although that's not to say that, you know, systemic racism and police brutality isn't something which I feel needs to be part of the discourse. Of course it does. However, not every platform on social media, not every account should be devoted to that wholeheartedly.
Not everyone can be an activist.
Diversity is the beauty of this planet and of social media in general. And my page is devoted to something else. However, I decided to step in on Tuesday because I thought it was something that for the first time, I guess, in my life, had swept the world in terms of the discourse. I know coronavirus is one of these things, but it wasn't really like a contentious issue. But this was something I felt like it needed to be addressed, and I did it. And I don't understand why I can be attacked to that degree. And believe me, I received many, many DMs. I received many comments. I had to turn off my comments of people attacking me for not doing enough. And since when did this society switch to that degree where doing something is condemned because you're not doing enough? Why can't it be enough to do something? You know, and how do you quantify how much you're doing compared to the other person? I donated to multiple charities. I got, you know, tagged in posts on my personal account by friends. I donated. I didn't post it. I run an anonymous account. I want my name to be anonymous, and therefore I'm not going to post on the Super Slutty page if I've donated to charities. And I don't think I need to.
I don't think, exactly. In fact, doing so, I mean, doing so is asking for praise and asking for, you know, an image op of look how great I am. That is clearly not the point of having something you stand for and believe in. It's not about you. So why should people expect you to tell them how much you're doing? It's in this age, you know, not everyone can be activists. People can all stand for what they believe in. And I don't see why people are expecting every single person to suddenly be changing their whole social media account to become a, you know, this cause is important and then I'm going to just make my whole account about it. It's an important cause, but it's not realistic.
It's not realistic. And look, I mean, it's sad because I don't want to ever say that I regret doing what I did, because what I believe, and I still stand by wholeheartedly with the fact that what I believe I did on Tuesday was something with very, very good intentions and pure intentions. I wasn't commercially trying to gain from the movement. I posted a black square with a very simple comment and a very powerful message, but a simple message, one that racism should not be tolerated at all on any form, in any level.
And you have to be true to yourself. Otherwise, how are you not worse than, like, oh, hey, I'm L'Oreal and I'm going to say speak out because it benefits our brand to say something during this time. You know, you have
to... Exactly. I get no commercial benefit. I mean, as you all know, the only way that the page is monetized is through my merchandise, but it's very minimal. And I think I'm pretty transparent about that. I've never done a paid a post on my page. So look, what it does is this opens up a can of worms that I don't need to fully get into, but it's the whole idea of this cancel culture, which really, really bugs me. And I think is a real systemic issue alongside racism in our society, is the fact that this is being, I guess, permeated through various channels, whether it's social media or in real life, you know, the left versus right tensions. People are scared to say anything because it's like, well, even if I say something nice, I'm going to get condemned for not saying the right thing and not using the right terminology. And it's a common theme with my page. I'm accused of being a racist. I'm accused of being a misogynist. I'm accused of being homophobic. I'm accused of being whatever it may be, because I depict characters in my memes that are not myself at
all. It's literally a parody on the world we live on.
With quotation marks in every caption. Look, if I'm talking about a 75-year-old French guy living in Monaco that's racist and a little bit sexist and a little bit homophobic, that does not mean that I am a 75-year-old French man living in Monaco that's racist, sexist, and homophobic.
If anything, it's awareness to know that these are you know, characters in real life.
Precisely.
And to make humor of it is showing an understanding of what that is. And that's important for people to understand that Super Slutty Snake's characters are characters based on reflections in the real world.
Precisely, Blair. And you know, what bugs me is that I believe if I turn my page fully PG and child friendly and with no profanity and no explicit details, I think all of you would be bored, and I don't think I'd be at the stage I am now. I think people love reading my stuff because it's funny, it's a bit edgy, it pushes the boundaries, but it's real. What I depict is what goes on. I call it how I see it. If I see a stereotype acting in a particular way, that's how I depict it. It's not my agenda that's talking. I am literally observing. That's, I like to call myself an observer of the scene. I look and I translate my visions or my observations into prose that I post in my captions. That's it. And obviously I'm going to go for stereotypes. How else can I do it?
And I mean, the whole point of humor is to make light of something that isn't necessarily humorous. You create the humor, and it's not meant to be something that's not offensive. Like, part of humor comes from places that are untouched and are kind of out of bounds. That's where humor is. You kind of push the line. You can't just, if you say the same knock knock joke, is that going to be funny anymore? No, you take what happens in real life and you turn it into something funny. And humor is supposed to be something that lightens the mood on more serious concepts.
100. I think, look, there's always going to be a place for comedy for the rest of time, regardless of how bad the global situation is, how bad the status quo is, even throughout coronavirus, which was a virus that took over the world. A lot of people were affected, a lot of people died. You still need comedy to help you get through these hard times. And I'm not saying that we should turn to comedy immediately after the aftermath of the protests and the George Floyd murder. What I'm saying is that my page is devoted to making people laugh, pure and simple. And I don't believe that you should attack me for what I post. If you don't want to read what I post, unfollow me. Don't follow me. It's very simple. And I know this is a common message that's I spread, I guess, from a lot of content creators, but it's pretty simple. I mean, the way I always come up with an example when people don't quite understand the concept of how enraged I feel, it's as if you don't like a certain band, are you going to contact that band personally to tell them that you don't like them? Or would you rather just not listen to them? You know, there are many, many bands that I don't like listening to, and I'm not going to contact every single one and say, hey, Girls Aloud, or whatever it is. I don't know, weird example. I hate your music. Don't listen to it. If you have, it's such a simple, and I guess it's such a repeated phrase, and it's so generic and so cliche, but I'm going to say it. If you have nothing nice to say, don't say it at all. If it's a little critique on the stuff that I'm doing, and you're like, hey, maybe could you do some more memes about this topic? And, oh, why don't you try talking about this? I'd love to hear that. I love to hear feedback. I love to hear what you guys want me to talk about. That gives me fuel and gives me motivation to carry on. However, if you're going to attack me for being a racist or for being a racist for doing posts about Russian escorts and saying, not every Russian girl is an escort. I completely agree. If I did a post about British escorts, female escorts, does that mean every British girl is an escort? No. And do you think any British girls are going to contact me and say, hey, I don't like the post you did about British escorts. Not every British girl is an escort. No, it doesn't happen. However, the stereotype exists. I'm sorry to say, I have many Russian friends. They fully acknowledge the fact that stereotype exists. It doesn't mean that every Russian girl is an escort. Just in the same way that when I talk about old French guys in Monaco that are creepy, it doesn't mean that every old French guy in Monaco is creepy. And do I get messages from French people? No.
I mean, see, this is the thing. It's a common sense thing. And some people don't want to buy into the idea of having common sense. And people are entitled to be offended. People are entitled to also be offensive. It's just a matter of, to the individual, it is not beneficial for you to go complaining about something you're actively, voluntarily subscribing to.
Yeah, but
it doesn't benefit you. Turn it off. You are just stuck. You know,
exactly. It's much easier to unfollow than to attack. And I think the vitriol is unnecessary. And I think people are addicted to being offended. That's the problem.
Yeah, be in charge of your own world. Do you want to be offended all the time? You don't have to be. You literally are the person who gets to decide where your attention goes to. If you want to be offended, then you know where to go. And I guess if that's what you want, then, I mean, what does that say about you?
You can create your own world for yourself. If you wanted to live in your own little existence where only unicorns and happy fairies existed, you could not use social media. You could subscribe to one Reddit thread that only talks about little fairies, and you could live in your little existence and stay at home and
freedom,
live in your bubble.
Okay? You
can do that.
Decide.
You are allowed to do that. No one is going to attack you for doing so. So if you don't like the
powerful world,
you
can choose what you want to pay attention to and then react to how it makes you feel. You like these things, pay attention to it. You don't like these things, move on. You are not entitled to tell people what they can and can't do. And You're allowed to be offended, but you're not allowed to think that because you're offended and you're going to tell someone that you are, that they're suddenly going to, like, what, just change who they are? It's just... That's nonsensical.
Just speaking from personal experience, I'm very rarely offended. Unless something is being directly aimed at me. If I'm insulted or a family member of mine is insulted to my face, maybe I would be offended. But even then, it's very rare. I have quite thick skin. I would like to think a lot of people that follow me hopefully are the same. But the overriding message is, if you don't like what I post about, don't follow me. What I see a lot of the times is DMs from people that have commented on hundreds of my stories in the past, and they're saying to me, hey, your last post was horrible, or Your last couple months of posts have been terrible. Pick it up, blah, blah, blah. Don't follow me then. Unfollow me. It's so simple. You know, if you can give me constructive criticism and critique, I'll take it. I'm a man. I can handle it. However, the abuse and the vitriol is not necessary. And I'm going to keep going. And I feel like we're living in dangerous times where people are scared of pushing the boundaries. They're scared of speaking their mind. And of course, there should be limits. There should be no racist slurs. There should be no overt, you know, homophobia. However, comedians should be able to say what they want, you know, and for people to accept it and not be offended. And I feel like that is the purpose of comedy in our society. I feel like it's a necessary pillar of a modern society and a progressive Western society is the ability to laugh at yourself, to take it and to laugh. That, you know, it's so simple. And I think we've covered everything that we need to say, but the conclusion to all of this is this cancel culture needs to stop. It's probably not going to stop after this podcast. However, don't bring it on. Don't bring it into my universe and my world. I'm not going to hear it. Anytime I hear any of that stuff, I'm just going to block you. So here's my warning. And I've already been doing it a couple of times today. So that concludes part one of the Super Size Saint podcast. I promise you part two is going to be more entertaining. But you know what? It's something that we had to cover. See you in part two. Welcome back to part two of the Super Slutty podcast. And I assure you guys, this segment is going to be a lot lighter. Now, it seems like we're approaching... seems like we're approaching the end of the first lockdown to some degree. And I guess it's probably going to be the first time in 3 months that the two sexes are going to start mingling together again.
The two sexes are going to mingle.
Well, the two sexes, it's true. I mean, I think we're going to see dating getting back on the radar again. But I mean, real dating in person, physical, not DMing and Raya and all this bullshit, which drives me mad. Anyway, something which I think we were, I guess, focusing on a lot in the last podcast was, you know, from a girl's point of view. Well, actually, no, from a guy's point of view about the girls, mainly. But, you know, I feel like as a culture connoisseur, I need to inform my male listeners what to do and what to not do when it gets back to dating. And obviously, Blair can help with this a lot from a girl's perspective. I mean, number one, and I've touched on it many, many times, but please, guys, when you come to Mykonos or anywhere for that matter, don't talk about how hooked up you are the whole fucking time. Don't talk about your IPOs. Don't talk about your business deals. And you know what? I think actually it might not even enter the discourse a lot this summer because no one's been doing much over the last few months.
No one's doing anything.
I mean, I think it's going to be a nice break from all of that.
I'm hoping
bullshit.
That it'll be a bit, you know, less crowded. You know, you can have a bit more of an intimate setting than the typical.
Yeah, I think a lot of places are going to have probably a better vibe because there's going to
be. It might be the best summer of Mykonos ever. Who knows?
Well, no, I think, Mykonos and in general, I feel like the social distancing thing is actually quite nice. Like the ability to dance, without having 200 sweaty people next to you.
I love a little room to dance. I mean, when you're trying to dance and it's kind of like more like you're trying not to knee or elbow people, suddenly you're restricted. You don't even want to dance anymore. You got some room to move. I mean, that's ideal.
Question. Who are the most like annoying type of guys that approach and what is the most annoying approach? Let's say you're at Scorpios, you're vibing. What type of guy is on the radar where you're like, oh, please don't come up and talk to me, or please don't say this? What are the real do nots as a guy?
I think one of the biggest things that I notice with dudes is girls are attracted to a confident guy who is interesting and interested. If a guy can show pure interest for anything, really, it doesn't even have to be like, you know, I'm particularly interested, you know, in you. If they're just interested in something and they have like a general confidence about it, that's already a talking point. And I think most of the time I see guys who are, that what they're interested in is, are they going to get laid tonight? And very quickly, if they think they're not going to get laid tonight, they're suddenly bumming out. They're not happy. They're not having a good time. On the attractive scale, when you're suddenly like not having a good time.
Who are you accusing of that sort of behavior, Missy? Okay, but Blair, let me play devil's advocate here as a guy. I feel like a lot of guys don't even bother doing the approach, regardless of how confident and interested and interesting that they sound. Because, I mean, first of all, how do you encapsulate that in 5 seconds, usually the maximum?
That. It's an energy thing. Like, if a guy is, say we're at a party, a guy is there, and he's properly having a good time. And it's not in the sense that he's having a good time because he's talking to a hot girl and he thinks he might get some. He's having a good time. He's there with his friends. He's doing his thing. And you can see that it's something more than the typical scenario where they're there to capitalize on the situation. The guy has something. What is it? I don't know. Maybe I want to find out. That's the girl's
perspective. He has that je ne sais quoi that piques your interest.
Yeah, he's got to have something that's a mystery. And that mystery is, why is he having such a good time?
Is it important that he's with girls?
No, it's not important
that
he's with girls.
Really? Is that a myth? Because a lot of guys assume that rocking up to a club or to a party or to a whatever scenario with a bunch of girls already is that kind of... It's the... What's the word? Not verification. What is it?
Validation.
My God, I'm losing it. By the way, Rumours Rosé is getting me nicely drunk. I don't want to say it's making me stupid. It's making me smart, as you can tell from part one. But
verification.
Wow. And thinking of Mykonos, thinking of vibes, thinking of sun, Rumours Rosé, the finest Côte de Provence in the world. And this podcast is brought to you by Rumours Rosé. Because if I wasn't able... to drink Rumours Rosé previous, I would not be able to talk. Anyway,
this is our happy hour, okay?
We're just
having fun over here.
We record on Fridays. The secret's out. Anyway, I feel like guys are kind of... They just feel like there's no point in doing that approach because it's very difficult.
Wait, what approach?
I'm saying the approach. At some stage, you have to approach.
The approach.
Yeah, like
approach,
regardless of how great your energy is.
What you really do is... You get them to come to you.
Okay, and how do you do that?
You do that by having the best time. This can totally
the best table?
Happen. No, the best time.
Oh, I thought you were about to say
you
the best table.
You look like a good
I was
time.
Like, oh
you
my
look
God.
Like, you look confident. What do people want? They want confidence because they want to feel the same way as you. They're attracted to the energy that they want to be. So if you're being the thing someone lacks, suddenly you've got girls kind of sitting over there. One friend's pushing the other to be like, I'm just standing here. Maybe this guy will talk to me. I'm kind of, you know, nudging up next to him or something.
Yeah. So, okay. But like at a beach club, I feel like the only way to kind of transmit that energy is by dancing and being quite overtly extrovert with your dance moves.
No, it's it's on your face.
You
people,
have to stand
people
there.
People can read you. I mean, if you just stood there, but somehow you truly felt you were having a great time, you felt really good about yourself, you were confident, you know, all you felt like you had your own interests, ambitions, all things were in a balance of alignment that you were like, yeah. And even if you were just standing there, I bet you someone would take notice of it. Even still, like, if you're in that state, you're usually not just going to stand there. Maybe you're going to stand there for a second. You're reflecting or something. But dancing, socializing, making jokes. I guess from my perspective, it's obvious when you see someone who's kind of filling a role of the image thing where, like, they know that they want something to be perceived about them. So they're exaggerating it. In a social scene, like being at a party, they might be like... I'm having so much fun right now. Look at me and all my friends. I'm making these jokes. But you can still see in them that it's really not about them having fun right now. It's about them wanting someone to come over
it's
there.
It's not genuine.
Yeah.
No, I get what you're saying. And I don't think any of you guys should be overthinking like, oh, how do I make it look like I'm like natural and confident and having a great
that's
time?
That's not what it's about.
Because,
Just be that.
Well, that's the whole point. It has to be fully natural. And I feel like it's probably happened to me many times. You kind of go into a flow, I guess, a flow state where you're genuinely distracted by how much fun you're having or the conversation you're having or the group. There's such a great energy. You're feeling the music. Whatever it may be, there's a lot of factors that can contribute to it. And... to some degree, you start creating this kind of force field, I guess, for yourself, or this energy.
The force.
This energy is being kind of pushed out into the universe, and it's going to be reciprocated at some point. So I completely do agree with you. It's obviously harder in a bar scenario or on a restaurant or somewhere where there's not that vibe. I feel like when you have the vibe that you can, I guess, draw upon, a lot can be achieved. And I know that my followers like to relate this to to real life stories, but there's one example that sticks into my head of a scenario where it was kind of unclear what you should do. It was a One Oak party on the Sunday of Coachella. God knows when it was. And
15.
Yeah, I can't remember. Probably. And it was maybe, I would say there were a total of maybe like maximum 40 guys, not even 35, maybe maximum 40 guys and about 500 women. But I'm not talking just beautiful models. I'm talking every actress you can imagine, singers, whatever. The who's who of the A-list. And you don't know what to do in that scenario.
No.
Because you're a guy that's standing alongside... I mean, I remember I saw Chris Pine. I saw Diddy. I saw... anyone you could imagine. So what I did was... because I know my followers like to relate this to real life experiences. And this is a real true story. So I'm there. The kind of... This is way pre Super Sly Snake days. I'm there as this guy. Random dude number 17. Nothing else. I'm not an actor. I'm not a celebrity in any way. So I'm in the kitchen. There was like a kitchen where people were making drinks. And it's not your average kitchen at a party with red cups. I mean, there were the red cups. But, you know, you turn left and there's Orlando Bloom. And you turn right and there's so-and-so. And it was just, you know, full of all these celebrities and famous people. So I start making myself a drink. And there's this beautiful brunette girl that's standing across the counter to me. So I start trying to make conversation. I can't remember what I said. It was not going down well. At all. She wasn't having it. I was making my drink. She wasn't really vibing.
She was probably like, oh, isn't this typical? This guy thinks he's going to do an approach.
Well, she was probably thinking, like, who is this guy when I'm at a party full
You're
of
not Orlando
massive
Bloom.
Celebrities? So, guys, my advice to you is fake it until you make it. Something switched in my head and I saw Jared Leto walk into the kitchen. I have never, well, at the time, I had never met Jared Leto in my life. He had no idea who I was, obviously, for sure. But I faked it. I was like, hey, Jared, what's up, man? I gave him a high five and I was thinking, oh my God, this is the make or break moment. And he hugged me and said, bro, great to see you. How have you been? We should definitely hang when we're back in LA. I swear to God. And I was like, oh my God. And I was like, yeah, man, for sure. I'll let you know.
Jared Leto's like,
I turned back to this girl to grab my drink. And I was like, great meeting you. And she was like, wait a second. How'd you know Jared? I'm like, oh.
My best friend.
So now you're interested in me because I know Jared. And she's like, no, I'm just interested like how you know Jared. And I was like, oh, you know, he's a good friend of mine. And I'm producing a movie that he's in. So obviously we're super close. And, you know, we were on set a few weeks ago. And she's like, can I take your number? Maybe we can meet up when we're back in LA. The moral of the story, guys, is if you haven't got that magic approach, you've got to do something else. And what I did was I transferred my attention away from her and I created an energy by having this fake interaction.
Yeah, but okay, but let's be honest here. Do you really want a girl who's only interested in you because you may or may not know Jared
Leto? Not necessarily. I'm not talking about finding the one and finding the future.
Finding the one to get in bed with.
Not finding the future Miss Slutty Snake. But what I'm saying is, it goes back to your point about the energy and the confidence.
Yeah.
What I was confident.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's a tangent there that's operating where she's like, oh, that's Jared Leto and he knows Jared Leto. So he must be famous or he must be successful or whatever. Doesn't matter. What I did was I confidently approached Jared Leto away from her, turned my back to her, and it created this energy force field around me, and she wanted to be part of it.
Well, I mean, you must have been feeling a little something that you're like at this party, a bunch of famous people. You're already a little heightened.
You have some confidence for sure. I remember the funniest part of this whole event was we arrived. I think it was like me and two guy friends, and we had a bunch of normal girls with us. When I say normal, I mean friends of ours, but not celebrities, supermodels, whatever. And they walked into the party and they walked out after 2 minutes. They just said to themselves, we cannot be here. We look so ugly compared to all of these girls. I said, no, stay. And they refused to stay. It was that level. And still to this day, it's probably the most visually shocked I've ever been in my life. But anyway.
Do you find, though, that celebrities in person are a bit less larger than life? Like, don't you find a bit
yes
of, like,
no.
You suddenly see that they are just kind of like, well, yeah, like, okay, they're attractive human beings, generally speaking, but they're not necessarily the massive super attraction that they're portrayed in media. That's how my experience. I
do you
find
mean like,
celebrities.
Do you mean
tend
how
be,
good looking some of them are, or how they actually look in real life versus how?
I mean the whole thing. I mean, of course they're good looking. That tends to be a bit of a prerequisite to the whole scene of their, you know, celebrity lifestyles. Not that all celebrities have to be attractive, but anyway, I mean the in person. There's a little bit of a magic loss that they are just humans, that they're not, you know, these big superstars, that they have flaws and you can see it in
their
interactions, mannerisms, all these other little things.
I would say yes and no.
What? Why would you say no?
Well, because sometimes you're disappointed by the people you meet. I met John C. Reilly at Amphar and he was the biggest disappointment of all time. He wasn't funny. He didn't have any vibe, energy. He wasn't fun. He wasn't extrovert. He was just plain and boring. And I was introduced to him in the right way by somebody that knows him. And I was bored out of my mind. And Step Brothers is one of my favorite films. So I was really disappointed. And look, sometimes you can catch them, I guess, in a bad moment. But I've been disappointed and I've been pleasantly surprised. I feel like I should tell my Chris Brown story.
Tell it.
Because this was one of the times where I was very pleasantly surprised. And not that Chris Brown is necessarily a hero, but he was definitely somebody whose music I liked back in the day.
He's obviously not a hero.
No, not a hero of mine, but I liked his music a lot.
Yeah.
But anyway, I was at an Amphar after party. And I don't mean the official one. I mean the unofficial one at the villa, if you know, you know. And the real one. Anyway... And I was looking for a joint. For some reason, I was really drunk. Ooh. And I needed that kind of leveler. I was just in a daze walking around.
If I'm really drunk, I can't
doing
have a
my
joint.
Thing. Well, I know. Yeah, you
but
just,
I want one.
You just throw up. But anyway, so I'm going around this villa in Cannes asking people. And you know, the usual reaction is like, no, like that no one wants to share. And so I'm walking upstairs and I see this girl and I'm like, hey, you know, do you have a joint that I can smoke just a little bit? And she's like, no, but like check in that room. I'm sure these guys do. So I entered this room and it was kind of this like library room in this villa. And it's Chris Brown and a bunch of girls. And I would say kind of thick girls, his style, and his boys. So I walk into this room as a, as you can tell from my voice, a very white British guy. And I'm like, oh my God, these guys are not going to like me in this room. And one of them is like, can I help you, dog? Or whatever he said.
Dog.
Whatever. Dog. However he spoke. And I'm like, hey, so sorry to bother. Like, do any of you guys have a joint? And the guy's like, oh yeah, we're rolling one now. So I go and I sit down next to this guy and suddenly one of Chris Brown's entourage goes and shuts the door and locks it. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on? I'm stuck in this room.
Oh no, woe is me. I'm stuck in a room with Chris Brown.
Me, Chris Brown, Chris Brown's male entourage and a bunch of thick girls. I mean, I couldn't have felt more out of place. So this guy's rolling a joint and we're chatting. And Chris Brown is like, he's like, everybody, I'm going to play my new album. You know, and everyone's like, oh, yeah, I want to hear it. And I swear to God, I had to sit through the whole of Chris Brown's unreleased album. He played every single song. And I'm there with his boys smoking up with his like entourage. And from what I've heard from like the LA banter, he's like, he's got like a serious entourage, like
kind of
gangster vibes. It was those dudes and me in a room smoking, listening to music for hours. I was stuck. My friends are messaging me, where the fuck are you? I'm like, difficult to believe, but I'm stuck in a room with Chris Brown listening to his new album that hasn't come out yet. And by the time I left the room, they fucking loved me. I was vibing. I was getting into it. I was giving Chris my opinion. Him. I was like, that one was not as good as the last one. You got to have a better baseline. He's like, I feel you. Anyway, how do we get onto this story? That was a fun time. I've never felt
more out of place. There was a point there.
There was a point, but I can't remember. I lost it. I lost it completely. I don't know how we got onto that.
Fuck.
I got too deep into it. I feel like we were talking before about guys. Oh, no, do's no, and
you
don'ts.
Were talking. We were talking about the like, you know, the disappointment or not of celebrities and their energy and everything.
So I was very pleasantly surprised by Chris Brown.
Really?
Yeah.
Despite all the negative nowadays context of him.
No, yeah, for sure. But I had a great time in that room.
I mean, you would, right? They're I had a giving you a time. Joint in a room where you're going to hear Chris Brown's private album.
I saw his unreleased. I listened to his unreleased album with his and boys and his thoughts. And it was fun. And I felt so out of place, but they really welcomed me. They were super nice. I had a great time.
I mean, I think most people would think they're having a good time.
So, and I know a lot of people probably don't have good reviews about CB, but, or C Breezy.
Well, I mean, to be fair, like, Rihanna's awesome, okay?
Yeah, she's dope, and she's one of my favorites.
I'm Team That's Rihanna. If we're going to go Chris Brown v. Rihanna, Team Rihanna all the way.
Well, I don't think there's a Chris Brown v. Rihanna. Chris Brown was extremely the wrong.
Yeah, well, exactly. But I just mean that, like, at the end of the
day... Do we have to pick sides?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, well, Rihanna then, but...
Yeah, you have to pick sides because at the end of the day, that's like...
But I have a Rihanna story too, so that's why it makes it easier.
Rihanna's cool.
I'm not getting into it now. Look, I don't know how we got on.
So Chris Brown, you had a great time. You thought his whole energy was particularly...
Maybe I caught him in a really good moment. I caught him in a really good...
He's there with his people, his yes men, you know?
I know, but he was larger than life. He was singing along to every song.
Yeah,
I had like a private Chris Brown performance with like a tiny hi-fi with an iPod connected to it. This was back in the days of, I think, the iPod. And it was just bizarre. It was really bizarre, but it was cool. It was a good vibe. And
then so you're there big. Did you have any weird thoughts in that moment?
No,
I think
you don't realize how big
I
was.
Somehow
because this was
I would
like,
probably get into a loop where I'm like, oh my god, this
was LA.
This is not a dream. This is weird. This is real. This is weird. I'm getting one of those moments where you're kind of like,
Kind of. I mean, I was getting harassed by my friends. They were whatever it was back
then. Where are you?
I think they were WhatsApping me. Where are you? Where have you been? And they wouldn't believe that I was in this situation because it just sounds so bizarre. But I was.
Well, I mean, nowadays, I mean, most people will be a little freaked out if Chris Brown comes in the room and locks the door. It's like, oh shit, what's going on?
But look, I think. Guys, followers, just to let you know, I will go into these stories in more detail because I have plenty of them. But basically, the Amphar after party, the Amphar event is a big charity event raising money for AIDS or for the fight against AIDS, and the main event takes place in Cannes, and there is an official after party after the main event, which takes place in the same venue as the gala. Now. People know in the scene that that's not actually the good one. I mean, people stay for about 10 minutes, they take photos and they go. And then there's a very exclusive party, which is at a different house. Sometimes it's the same house, but it's at a villa every time. And the stuff that you see in this party, you would never believe. Or the people that you see, the scenarios. I just need to collect my thoughts and in another episode I can talk to you in more detail, but that's one of the stories that I remember. I have plenty. But yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy.
Crazy.
And I think that was one of the pieces of feedback from the last episode. People wanted more of an explanation because I tend to just throw out references and names and places. So there's my explanation. And this concludes part two because I want to get onto your questions in part three.
Woo.
And I feel like that's going to be quite banterous. So see you in part three.
Ooh.
Welcome back.
Welcome.
To part three.
Part three.
Stop doing that.
Okay.
Of the Super Slutty Podcast. And here is the segment that you've all been waiting for. Your questions that you posed to me on Instagram. Now, as I said to you in the original episode one, which was then deleted, whatever.
Whatever.
I have not picked my favorite, so I'm just going to read through thousands of questions that have been posed. The many questions that have been posed, and we're going to talk about some funny ones. Do you know Stardguy personally? Yes.
Stardguy!
Very well. I'm not going to reveal his name. He's a very good friend of mine, legend. And if you're listening to this, Stardguy, I love you. What are the prostitutes doing now that Novikov is closed, Blair?
Probably having their much fun times on webcam services. Yeah,
I reckon a lot of them have transferred to OnlyFans. I don't have any insider knowledge on that, but that's where I would imagine they are spending their time. Ibiza versus Mykonos overall comparison. Now, Blair, you've experienced both, and I want to hear from a girl's point of view. Which do you prefer?
Okay, I think Mykonos has, and it's changing, but I still think Mykonos has a certain, like, cultural closeness that you feel a certain vibe. Ibiza has a certain commercial vibe. There's a certain commercial vibe there, and okay. I'm not saying I don't necessarily like that. I do, but I think you go to them for different reasons.
So you feel like Mykonos stays truer to Greek culture, and Ibiza has strayed. Yeah, that makes sense. Look, guys, how I would phrase it for you is: look, I'm very biased. I prefer Mykonos, but Mykonos is more focused on the day scene. The day scene in Mykonos is fantastic. The beaches, the beach clubs, the food are amazing. Ibiza, or however you want to pronounce it, has fantastic nightclubs. You know, you can party from 3 a.m. Oh, fuck. I nearly dropped my phone. 3 a.m. until whenever you fucking want to party, 1 p.m. And there are nightclubs that can cater for you. That's the main difference.
And Ibiza has like kind of a, you know, it's got its own culture for Ibiza, like separate from Spain.
Its own culture?
Yeah, I just mean like, at our age, at this point, like Ibiza's been around a while doing what it's doing.
Look, let's move on. Both are amazing.
Yeah.
Both are amazing, let's be honest.
They are.
Okay, how to make saffron cake? I have no idea.
No idea.
I don't even know
if I like saffron cake.
Yeah, to be honest, it's not actually that good.
I would pick many other cakes over saffron cake.
And I don't want to poo-poo them over my podcast, but the Leto one is not bad, but it's still not great. And the Elan one is sickly. It's way too sweet. And I don't know why Arab people in London like it, but they do. The best boarding schools internationally. Difficult to say. The most Euro ones are obviously Eglon, Rosé. And then in the UK, you've got Eton, Harrow, St. Paul's. Those are the ones I can think of. Most sluttiest snake alive, DiCaprio and me. Right?
Yeah.
How do your friends react if you'd introduce a less fortunate new friend to the clique? Guys.
That's interesting. Guys, fuck that shit. Yeah, stop with this shit. Are you defined by your money? No.
You
should be defined by so much more than that. I think that's fucking dumb, weak, and stupid to classify yourself as being fortunate and that's who you are, and therefore someone that's quote unquote not as fortunate is therefore different from you in like major ways.
To conclude on what Blair just said, yeah, that's not a consideration. I have a real group of friends. And it's not like the memes. Sorry to disappoint you. Ernest Hemingway is asking me the craziest model story that doesn't involve them getting locked out of a model apartment. Blair?
The craziest model story that doesn't?
Can you think of a craziest...
That doesn't end in...
That doesn't involve you getting locked out of a model apartment. Like, what is... Can you think of a crazy story that... That involves you and other models.
Yeah, I mean, a big part of the story is how young we are, that we're 18. So I just mean that parents...
No, one particular story.
Yeah, this is a particular story.
Okay, for it.
So part of the story is that one of the girls in the model apartment had parents that were a bit overbearing in that they were very in touch with the agency. She's at the model apartment. Her parents are in North Carolina. And then one of the other models, maybe she was a bit jealous that this model had started hooking up with her ex-boyfriend who was a promoter and was going on a trip with the ex-promoter and had brought some of the other friends that are in this social group. And this was like to the Hamptons or something. And then during that trip, the other model then had called her parents off of a different phone with just like kind of like anonymous, your daughter's doing cocaine in the Hamptons, and kind of like a hang up thing.
Wow.
Whether that's true or not, we don't know.
Savage.
But either way, next thing you know, her parents have gone to the agency. It's a big drama. Her parents want her to come home to North Carolina. They don't want her there.
Ooh.
And it was really dramatic because it was one of those things where I was like, who told my parents that? And then it was like me in between being like, well, I know who did it. And that was like a really bitchy move. And then
wow. That's really mean.
It caused a lot of drama when you're 18 years old.
Fuck. Okay. Now, this one is quite interesting. At Anmol Vaswani asks, can you demonstrate sex noises of Bulgarian escort? Oh, fuck. Let me channel one second.
Channeling.
Oh, yes, baby. Yes, baby. Oh, deeper. Oh, yes, yes. Oh, no, 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 baby, baby. No, not so hard. Soft, baby. Slow. Oh, yes, yes. There we go. Blair's looking at me like I just murdered somebody. At Errol King Jr., you should definitely do a Super Slutty playlist on Spotify. I will do, guys.
I support that.
Yeah, that will happen, I promise you. It's going to be a very vibey playlist with different genres of vibiness. Going to Mykonos for the first time this summer, what advice do you have? Wow. First of all, get a driver, 1,000%. Get your own car or a driver. It's essential.
Make a plan. Have wholesome activities mixed in with the party activities.
Well, there's not going to be many party activities. So I would say...
Yeah, there might
I would
be a
say
little
go to,
mini
go to
party
Alamogu,
activities.
Go to Scorpios. Those are the bases you've got to cover. There's a couple new places opening. There's Koya and Zuma if you want to have that sort of vibe. But I would say go to Phokos Beach. Go to... where else do we like?
For like a casual night, I really like this taverna in... It's kind of in Ornos, and it's great for sunset.
What's it called? You don't know, do you?
Yeah, I don't know.
Mm. Anyway, I'll probably do a future episode with my full Mykonos recommendations. I need to think about it.
Let us know if you guys want that.
But and I think people do have an appetite for that. But let's see. Let's have a look. Sardinia holidays. I don't know a huge amount about Sardinia. All I know is Cala de Volpe, OG. That's about it. I'm not a massive fan. I like the food a lot.
It's beautiful.
It is beautiful. It's not necessarily somewhere I would prioritize. I think there's not a huge amount of value for money.
Yeah, we wouldn't go there for very long.
it's beautiful for sure. Why do guys keep dating at Andrea Deledo? Why do guys keep dating insta-hoes instead of regular good girls? Lol.
Yeah, let me tell you.
Look.
I think it's a competition in manland where it's like, you know, oh, I've got my ideal career. I've got my ideal apartment. I've got my, okay, now I want my ideal girl. And then you look at media, all the influences you get for how you idealize.
Is she saying insta-hoes? Is she basing that on a follow account? Like, does she really mean like insta hoes, or does she mean just insta models that are famous?
I think she just means people with influencer power that are in the you all know what we're talking about.
Andrea, I feel like an image on Instagram. Yeah, Andrea, I feel like a lot of guys, I'm not speaking for myself here, like the idea that these girls are kind of a notch on the belt. They can boast to their friends. And some of these guys, if they're going to go to their friends and say, oh, hey, I just slept with Mary Johnson.
It's a flex.
There's no story there.
And unfortunately,
guys love saying, hey, I slept with so-and-so famous person. It's a flex. And yeah, I feel like that's never going to go away. I think it's been a pillar of society since the beginning of time.
Yeah, that's
people
true.
Like,
but
to
it, but it is
other.
Still pretty. It's kind of lame for your own personal quality of life for you to just go after what you think other people will think is cool. It's lame.
At Pierre Olé asks, "What was your best yacht experience?"
Okay, wait. I have an experience there. My best yacht experience.
Go on.
Me and my boyfriend were dancing with Michelle Rodriguez DJing. Super sweet playlist. It was just us and Michelle Rodriguez DJing for us.
Where the fuck was I?
You were probably still at Pasha or something.
Okay, so I was there, but I wasn't.
Oh, no. Amnesia, the big one.
Yeah, I was in the vicinity,
yeah,
but not.
But it was like
there.
We left early and. That was really that
we
was,
were staying on
that
a boat
was a special
with
moment
Michelle.
For me. On top of the boat, stars,
which was interesting.
Michelle, DJ, it was great.
Mine, there's a few, but I would say, look, I have more like wholesome ones. Last summer, I had an amazing trip with friends in Greece, and it was a bit more low key. But the one that stands out for me is spending a week on a yacht with Elton John and David Furnish. Was definitely in Venice. Was really interesting, and being part of a real A-list celebrity entourage.
Surely people
want to
know,
bizarre.
Like, what's the vibe with Elton John? Then?
It was crazy. Anytime we would go to a restaurant or to a shop in Venice, we'd have to go out the back entrance. There were fans, hundreds of fans, every single time we went anywhere.
Hundreds?
Literally hundreds everywhere. Because, he's one of the most famous guys in the world, and he dresses extremely extrovertly.
Was there any moment that you felt especially like, that's so Elton John of you, or like, you know, something that was,
yeah, every day he was wearing like bright yellow outfits or bright pink outfits and these crazy sunglasses. It was so Elton John. But then we'd be sitting having lunch together or whatever, and we'd be talking about football the whole time because he's obviously a huge football fan. He was used to be on the board of Watford, and it's bizarre because there's quite a disconnect in the way he dresses versus how his character is, but he's an awesome dude. Love Elton John. And he played piano for us, which was dope. What else have we got here? When were you at the Rosé? I wasn't. Have you been to the Berghain? I tried to go one time. I was rejected. And I pinned the blame on my Brazilian friend who only had a... I think he was wearing some like deep V-neck Dolce Gabbana t-shirt, and he only had a Moncler jacket, and it was freezing cold in Berlin. And instead of leaving the jacket at home, he took it. I took it like a man, and I left my Moncler jacket at home because I was like, I'm not going to get in with it. And I'm sure we didn't get a linen because of him. I honestly think that's the truth. Let's see. Plans for the future. More podcasts, video version.
Creating.
A lot more different channels of media. Keep your eyes peeled. And there's going to be something announced very soon, which is going to be quite exciting.
Woo!
I don't like all these questions about how do normal people get noticed by rich people. And I don't like that, guys. Come on. Just you focus on yourself. Don't think about that stuff.
Well, but if you're going to break it down, the typical way is... suddenly you have a big business, a big something that then people want to be a part of.
If you want to get taken notice of, you need to have success in
some
way.
Have a voice, whether it be through content. Like, why do you have a podcast? Why do you have something?
Yeah, just achieve
something.
But also,
like,
work on it.
I don't support the idea of your goal being noticed by people in what you
consider.
Yeah,
don't have that as your goal. If your goal is a genuine one, that it's aligned with your own motivations, your own mission, then you'll achieve success. And then by proxy, you'll be noticed by these people that you want to get noticed by. But don't make getting noticed by rich people your mission.
Yeah, that's awful.
Because that's not going to work. God. Jacobo says, describe your perfect night out in various cities. Blair?
Perfect night out?
Fun dinner?
Definitely fun dinner. I mean, the biggest thing is company.
Yeah.
Fun company. I also like, I like a wholesome activity before the big night out. Something that, like, really bonds the squad. To me, like, a great night out is a group of people that then are, hyped on having a good time together.
But the dinner gets everyone pumped. It gets everyone a little bit, a little bit, people drink, they relax a little bit, the vibes start, they start connecting well, and then you enter the club or the rave or whatever,
yeah, you
the party,
have
and you've got that
community
energy
going
and that,
into it.
Exactly. The communion between you, yeah. You're all aligned, and then you have a lot better time. That's a way to do it. So yeah, nice dinner, maybe bar, and then go out. Ooh, I like this one. At Donnie TB, the do's and don'ts for Americans who try to party in Europe, like in Mykonos, Ibiza. Okay, number one, stop wearing snapbacks backwards. Stop wearing Yankee snapbacks. Stop wearing LA snapbacks.
No, no, they can wear their Yankee snapbacks.
Too much,
backwards. No, it's fine. They can do that.
But there's
it's
an
not,
army of them wearing
not,
the same shit.
Yeah, it's fine if they wear their snapbacks backwards. What's not fine is if they're going to come up to you and suddenly want to, like, you know, assert their wealth, talk about how much okay. their money they or okay. who they know. Fair. You know, if they don't do that, I snapped backs backwards, great.
No, that's number one. That's number one is stop boasting about how fucking rich you are and what deals
no
you've done.
No one fucking
and your
cares.
IPO. Stop it. Stop it. That's not how we do it in Europe. But I would say the dress sense of Americans is terrible. Stop. You all arrive at the club or the beach club. You're wearing Jordans, basketball shorts, like some sort of like Beeble tank top or some like ridiculously long cut, like Rick Owens t-shirt sort of vibe, and then like a snapback. Fucking change it up. Have
just
different
cool.
outfits.
Just be fun.
Yeah,
conversational. We don't want to talk
dueling.
About fucking money in Mykonos. Okay, I'm sure. I know I don't.
At Yanni Lemos official asks, what does the hierarchy of the cafe boys consist of?
Ooh.
To be honest, I don't know if there's much of a hierarchy. I think the cafe boys are all on the same level, but yeah, there is, I guess there's got to be a leader. I don't know how the leader is defined, but I guess he has the best coiffed beard and he knows how to order the finest Freddo espresso. Maybe. Who fucking knows? And maybe has the best G-Wagon. The
G-Wagon.
Oh, I like this. Blair, if you suddenly inherited 100 million euros in cash, what would you do with it? At Suleiman Rice.
Fuck, I don't know. I feel like I'd be a little squashed with responsibility.
Go
like,
on, just one big purchase.
What am I going to do? I mean, like, I literally, I have no idea what I would do. I don't even know where to start. I mean,
okay,
like,
I'll answer. I would buy, if we're talking one thing, I would buy a ridiculous property, either in Greece, or I would buy an island, or I would buy some sort of tropical, exotic beachfront property or a private island, and I would do it up exactly the way I wanted it, and I would invite a bunch of fun people and
turn. Is that enough to do it up exactly as you want it?
Is that enough?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Like, can you do it up exactly how you want
Well, you buy land and you build the property of your dreams. God knows. I don't know. Look, you've got 100 million, you can do a bunch of shit, but I'm talking about maybe
there's
the
too
first
many possibilities.
Because
like,
at least that's, you're investing in something which will achieve capital growth and you can sell it and you could also rent it out.
Well, see,
I'm
I
thinking
feel like
logically with my business mind.
Initially, I would suddenly just want to like, I want to, you know, bring my people together. I want to like collab. I want to like make shit. I don't know. You know, I just want to like create nonstop, whether it be like getting more supplies, getting people together, creating projects.
Mm. I feel it. Watch Anish, shout out. I'm going to answer your question one on one when I see you or when I speak to you next, but I love you. I feel like we've covered the best ones. There's a few negativo ones. You know who you are. Stop it.
Read one of the negative ones. Let's drill it.
No, somebody that we know said, why are you wasting your time with this podcast? Ha ha.
Hey, we're having fun. Fun is never a waste
you
of time.
And you know who you are.
Fuck you.
yeah. Anyway, guys, do I need to finish this with an impression, Blair? What
yeah,
do you think?
Of course.
I do.
That's how you do it.
Okay, let's pick one together. What about the German? Did I do the German one?
No.
I didn't do it, did I? I kind of like, okay, guys, I'm going to do, because someone asked me about the Berghain and how I haven't been. I did an interesting post the other day about a guy who had been trying to get into the Berghain for a long time. And I don't know if in the caption we figure out if he did get in or not, but believe me, he really wanted to. And it's not based on me, but he's kind of a cute character in that he really wanted to get in. Are you ready? Let's go.
Ach ja, Romeo, mein adorable little Italian sex puppe. Ich has a wunderbar feeling about tonight. Ich knows that meine loosened German Aschenholen has been trying to gain Entschwingten into the Berghain without succession since 2006. Aber ich finally think that meine outfit is perfecten. Romeo, ich bin uber pleased that we chose the black velvet crotchless jumpsuit for you. The lack of color really brings out the pink hues of your cockenshaft. Ich bin also super satisfied mit this Sweden trim and Moroccan portable sex swing that I got delivered at maximum speed thrusten mit Amazon Primen packen. Meine getup was inspired by the night we met at the Parisian Homo Disco after hours called Ass Crack Crack. Ich started the night in meiner favoriten spotless Gimpenanzug, aber ich left with a hole in my rear so large you could park eine SpaceX Schuttelwaffe in there. Anyways, Sven doesn't let me in this time. If Sven doesn't let me in this time, I even bought one of his stupid photos last week und sent eine envelope mit der 2000 Euro und eine selfie of me looking dark und techno-promiscuous. Das ist our time, kleine Romeo. Ich thinks we should just stroll up hand in hand looking like we're gonna fuck like rabbiten, but our cat just died or some scheiße, I don't know. If we get in, ich promissen that I'll blitzkrieg your Puppentuben at exactly 135 BPM while we sip cute margaritas from the balkonen.
Wow. I really went in fucking deep. Hmm? Okay, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. We really appreciate it. Keep the support going. And we're going to keep these podcasts coming once a week.
Love
we really enjoy
time.
Doing them. We really love you. Blair, I'm going to let you do the closing speech.
Guys, thanks so much. Love you long time. I'm Blairzy, B-L-A-I-R-S-I-E. This is Super Slutty Snake Podcast. We'll see you next week. Mwah!
Bye, everyone. Have an amazing week.